I want to look at the Midrashim on Korach. Let's start from the beginning. Korach ben Yitzhar, that's his father's name, Shevet Levi. He was tremendously offended that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't recognize his greatness and give him a position which would be commensurate with the greatness he felt he had. And the Midrash says, Korach had the following thoughts. My muzzle indicates I am born for greatness. My grandfather had the name Yitzhar. Yitzhar is oil. He says, my grandfather must have foreseen that just as oil always floats to the surface of water, my father would produce superior sons deserving to be appointed to the greatest of positions in Klal Yisrael, commensurate with the best of the oil. I think the first question we could ask, and I don't have an answer, I mean, if that was his grandfather's name, why did he somehow think that his father hadn't risen to a level of importance that would have justified the grandfather's name? I don't know the answer to that. He said, assuming that the grandchildren of Yitzhar are supposed to be leaders, I'm the Bechor. It's gotta be me. And indeed, we're told, he had outstanding characteristics. Kahos, the family of Levi that he came for, was considered the most important of the Levium families. And Korach was the first cousin of Moshe and Aaron. He already had the task of being one of those who carried the Aron HaKodesh. So his proximity to Kedusha gave him greater feelings of grandeur. It says he was really head and shoulders above others in term of intelligence and in term of wisdom. And as we said yesterday, he looked and he could see with Ruach HaKodesh that he would have Shmuel HaNavi as his descendant and that he would have Mishmorais amongst the Kahuna out of his descendants, which would have Ruach HaKodesh. Korach took all this information, or all that he perceived, and he said, I'm obviously destined to have a position of greatness. It's got to come. Moreover, it says, his children were also comparable to him in terms of characteristics. The other thing we're told was Korach was one of the richest people around. And it says in Mishle, a rich man speaks with impudence. And what he felt that meant was he had the divine, I would say, confirmation that he could get into a conversation or confrontation with Moshe Rabbeinu. The Midrash asks, how did Korach become wealthy? Most of the Levium, it said, didn't have great wealth, and some lived in poverty. They didn't take any gold or silver from Mitzrayim because they had never been enslaved. They weren't included in the request by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Jews take, that they should, quote, borrow the richness that their neighbors in Mitzrayim had. They were the ones who had never been enslaved, but they were the ones who had kept the Jewish tradition alive. They studied whatever they had, and that was their lot. Even at the Yam Suf, when the water would continue to bring up riches after riches from the Egyptian chariots, the Levium didn't take anything because it says they had reached a level of spirituality that they had no appreciation for wealth. Once they had their basic needs satisfied and they trusted in Hashem, they had no need for anything. They lived a spiritual existence, it says, throughout the period of the 40-year traveling in the desert. Korach, it says, was money hungry. In Egypt, probably because of his knowledge, he had become a treasurer for Paro. And he personally hoped that the Jews would stay in Mitzrayim so that he could have the benefits of administering the royal treasury. And it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu leads a person, but derech asher holich. The way you want to go, the Rabboni Shel Olam will let you go or help you go. Korach, in his great love for money, was shown the treasury that Yosef HaTzadik had concealed for Klal Yisrael. Korach took it, which made him one of the most wealthy people in the existence of the world, the Medrash says. However, he misused this wealth, and he used it to rebel against Moshe, against the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu treated him mida kineged mida, measure for measure, and none of this wealth survived when he was swallowed up into the abyss. But it says, the Medrash, in spite of all this, and in spite of all these reasons which would have encouraged Korach to stand for, quote, his greatness, it was his wife who got him into trouble. If not for her, he would have basically kept his grudge quiet. It says there were two very wealthy people. One was a Yid and one was non-Jewish. And they listened to their wives. They were destroyed and they lost their virtue, their wealth. Korach, whose wife inspired him to rebel against Moshe, and our buddy Haman, who listened to his wife when she said, Yasha 8, make the gallows 50 amos high for Mordechai and go see Achashverosh. And he went the same night that Achashverosh decided to reward Mordechai. Korach's pride was deeply, deeply troubled, because what Moshe then did was, when he picked the dignitaries, And when he picked the Nasi of the Levium, it was not him. And Korach made a cheshbon. He said, this is totally unfair. Okay. He said, Moshe should have looked to Kehas, his family, to choose the Nasi, and I am the one who would be there. My grandfather, Kehas, had four sons, Amram, Yitzhar, Chevron, and Uziel. Amram's sons, because Amram was the eldest, became the Melech Moshe Rabbeinu and the Kohen Gadol Aaron. Amram's grandson, Elazar, became a Kohen Hedyud, right, a non-Kohen Gadol, while I wasn't. And he said, I've got to clearly be on that level. In other words, and he said, if we take the apparently the numeric value of Elazar and Korach, they're both 308. And he says, why did Moshe make Elazar a Kohen and not me? He says, God can't have done this. God isn't unjust. This has got to be Moshe's own doing. And obviously, he concluded that Moshe does not act only by the command of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Medrash says, Korach, this brilliant man, lost his wisdom and reason. His inner flaming desire for glory and envy of those he felt were put in higher positions but clearly didn't deserve him, ate him up day and night. And it says, when he made the statement that Moshe decided the positions in Klal Yisrael on his own, he became a halachic apikoros. He basically gave up Judaism. He is given the name of one who scorns Hashem's word. And Korach kept going downhill to the extent where he said, the mitzvahs were all written by Moshe Rabbeinu. God had no involvement. And it says, this bothered him day and night, day and night. And he would complain to his wife. We know there was the ceremony where the Levium were all taken in exchange for the Bechorim to now be those who would serve the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. He walked into his house and he was shaven bare of any hair. And his wife said, who are you? Who totally disfigured you? And he said, this was Moshe's doing. And he said, more than that, first Moshe and then Aaron each lifted me up, north, south, east, west. He says, that made me pure? He says, what is this? Korach mocked the required procedures HaKadosh Baruch Hu prescribed for bringing a Levi into the Avoda. And he said to himself and to his wife, I didn't feel any purer before or after. And it says, obviously, if you're going to try to be an apikoros, no matter how much of the poradum or any other type of kedusha we externally put on you, it has no effect. And Korach's wife went, she raged. You look like a moron. Look how Moshe despises you. He made you totally barren of hair so that you look basically absurd. Korach said, I would agree with you. However, Moshe did the very same thing to his sons. And Korach's wife had a retort. He didn't mind. His job was to denigrate you. If it meant denigrating his kids as well, so be it. Korach was now on the warpath. And he began to incite people against Moshe Rabbeinu. And he began to recruit malcontents. He didn't initially attempt to challenge Moshe openly. Because an open rebellion, he realized, would have led to the masses basically considering him a traitor and killing him. So he bided his time, enraged. Now, after the Meraglim, and after the edict, they're going to spend up to 40 years in the desert, and after the death of the Jews in the various previous sins, with the slough, with the quail, and with the complaining, etc. And now with this edict, he says, I've got the perfect opportunity to challenge Moshe Rabbeinu. His polling numbers have gone down substantially, and now is the time. And he kept strategizing, how can I do this? What's the way to start? You know, I want to get him. I got to get a get you. And he said one day, he came to his wife, and he said, you know what we learned about today? The mitzvah of tzitzis. And she said, what's that about? And he explained how you have to have the four-cornered garment that tzitzis, and that one of them has got to be colored tcheles blue. And it must be of the chalazon, right? This sea creature. And she said, hold on. Let's think for a minute. If you need one thread of tcheles, wouldn't it be better to have four? And even better, wouldn't it be especially better if you took a garment and you made the entire garment blue? I can make you a garment that'll be covered in tcheles. And she said, go to Moshe and say, I want to learn Torah with you. I've got a real Shiloh. She said, you can't challenge Moshe openly, but if you can show that his manner, the way he conducts himself in teaching, is wrong, now you've got something to stand on. And so he said, first of all, he said to the people, we need to have a group that's going to act L'shem Shamayim to figure out what we really have to do. And he said, we know that Hashem has said every Yid is Kadosh, is holy. And he said to the Levium, how is it that if we're all holy, that Moshe can delegate you or regulate you to be servants to Aaron and his kids? Then he went to the Bechorim, and he said, we had a Kabbalah, maybe as far back as Yaakov Avinu, that the firstborns would serve as Kohanim, as Levium. What's this business that Moshe replaced you with family members? How did he denigrate your holiness? And then he turned to the tribe of Reuven and some malcontents there. And he said, you guys got mistreated also. When we brought the Karbonis for inaugurating the Mishkan, you're the Bachar. What did Moshe do? He took the Nasi of Yehuda and he basically pushed you out of the way. You know why he did this? Because Aaron married Nachshon, the Nasi of Yehuda's wife, and he wanted to show honor to Aaron's family. And he says to B'nai Reuven, how long are you going to tolerate the fact that you've been denigrated? You've got a special role to play, and Moshe's taken it away. And they said to him, Moshe acted on a Kodesh Baruch Hu's command. And they may have also said that Yaakov Avinu, on his deathbed, he's the one who did this. And Korach said, you guys, you're totally confused. You don't know what you're talking about. Moshe, for whatever reason, became the leader, decided he's king, and is going to issue royal edicts as to what happens based on his own knowledge. There's no communication with the Almighty. He said, we stood at Sinai, and he heard it. We said, a Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Va'atem tiyu li mamlechas goyanim v'goy kadosh. All of you, the Jewish people, are going to be a kingdom of Kohanim and a holy people. He said, so I really have a problem. Now, if you're going to tell me that at the Egel, the Bechorim didn't stand up when Moshe said, Mila Shem Eli, who fights for Hashem, and they lost then the privilege of continuing to serve, right? Then Aharon, who's also a Bechor, should have equally been involved, should have equally been disqualified. There ought to be a system whereby the people can make an objective decision as to who it is that should be leaders. And he said, let me tell you something. I would be a better candidate for Kohen Gadol than Aaron. Aaron was involved. We know that it was his involvement that somehow created the golden calf. I was a Levi. And I am a Bechor. I'm a Bechor who was untainted, unlike Aaron. How does he stand ahead of me? And then Korach, with all his money, had the audacity to create a great banquet, it says, at which he had tremendous amounts of wine. I guess they didn't have beer in the desert. And as they began feasting and becoming drunk, Elazar HaKohen was summoned to take the parts of the animals that are the matnas kahuna, that go to the Kohen. And Korach, at that stage of the game, took tremendous, I would say, exception. He said, there was a poor widow with two daughters. They had a single field. When she wanted to plow, Moshe said, you can't harness an ox and a donkey together. When she's about to plant the seeds, Moshe said, you can't sow cloyim. You can't have the grain and the grape seed in the same place. Finally, she was lucky and she got to harvest some grain. Moshe said, hold over. You can't have it all. There's leket, there's shikhan peya for the poor. And then when she took the wheat and brought it into the house, Moshe said, hold on, you've got the rule of truma, maaser rishon and maaser sheni. The poor widow decided she did not want to pay for her, it didn't pay for her to be in the field business because nothing she had remained. So she sold it and she bought two sheep. And she was going to use the wool for warm clothing. And when they had young sheep, they would use that as a means of sustenance. When the first ewe was born, Moshe said, hold on, this is a bechor, it goes to Aaron. When it came time to shear the sheep, Aaron said, Rashis Agaz, the first of the wool goes to the Kohen. The woman said, how much more are these guys going to take out of my pocket? She says, I'm going to just slaughter the sheep and eat them. And no sooner had she slaughtered them than the Kohanim showed up for the parts they said were due to them. He said, right? And she said, this is terrible. I'm not doing this. I make them a cherem. A cherem is like a netter. I can't have them. And then Aaron said, great. Cherem goes to the Kohanim. And he says, look at what Moshe set up. Moshe basically set up a methodology of stealing from people, of taking away their hard-earned employment, right? Money, whatever. And this and other type arguments were used to basically tell the Jewish people that Moshe was a scam and that there was no reason to listen to him whatsoever.